Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Think about a recent customer service experience you had. Maybe you were on the phone for technical support or interacting with a teller at a bank, at a restaurant being served by wait staff, or it might have been something else for you. What did you think about the customer service provided to you? I am grateful for the attention provided for my situations, and I've noticed that customer service doesn't seem to be what it once was. There are some exceptions. There is one fast food restaurant chain in the United States that I think has top-notch customer service. Like other fast food restaurants, this chain employs many younger workers, and many of those younger workers haven't even graduated from high school yet. Yet this chain of fast food restaurants has great customer service, with their staff being taught to use specific responses when responding to customer comments. At this restaurant, if a customer offers thanks when receiving their order, the staff is taught to avoid phrases you might hear at other restaurants, such as "you're welcome," which implies you were expected to offer the gratitude, and "no problem," which suggests other customers are problematic. Instead, they are trained to respond with "it's my pleasure," which conveys they are satisfied in having served you. With customer service, it's more about how the customer feels about the interaction with staff than how the staff feels about the interaction with the customer. When I eat at sit-down restaurants where waitstaff comes to the table to take the order and brings the food and beverages, I find myself sometimes comparing the customer service experience at that restaurant to this fast food restaurant chain. I've had many great servers at sit-down restaurants, but it's not as consistent as it is at this one fast food restaurant chain. Several months back, I was driving in the early afternoon when my car's check engine light came on. So on the way home, I stopped at the local auto parts store where they check the engine code for free and printed out a report on the check engine code along with part numbers they carry that will repair the problem. That check engine light turned out to be an emissions problem, and in Texas where I live, an emissions problem for a car can prevent renewal of a car's registration. I researched different auto shops that might be able to do the repair, and then saw how this particular engine error code was a known issue for the manufacturer, and that they had provided special no-cost repair for this error code when the repair is completed at a dealership. I made plans to take my car to the dealership, and they confirmed the error code and that the repair was eligible for repair at no cost. Then they told me they didn't have the part in stock, and they thought it would take 10 days to get the part, which is a bit long, but I waited. Thankfully, the error with the emission system didn't prevent use of the car while awaiting the part. When 10 days became 2 months, I called the manufacturer's customer care number, and they opened a case for me. During those 2 months, the dealership was not given an arrival date for the needed parts by the manufacturer. The conversation I had with the customer care team was, I didn't understand how a major U.S. manufacturer would not know logistics for parts. Manufacturers live and die by having needed parts to make whatever they make. The customer care team made a commitment to follow up with me every 3 to 4 business days until the situation was resolved, and it took a month, but the situation was resolved. It seems like the part number changed several times since the manufacturer first noticed the issue in the make and model of car I drive, and the dealership had been ordering the old part number, which was no longer available. The car has been repaired and continues to run great, and it took customer service to get that repair done. Customer service comes in many different forms. If you've had great customer service, or if you have had poor customer service, you probably remember it. Spiritually, we are all engaged in service, and throughout the Bible, we have many examples of what being a servant means. We can look to the account of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph ended up in Egypt and ultimately became second in Egypt, with the Pharaoh being greater than Joseph. It is easy to see the hand of God involved with Joseph, as even every bad turn of events came to work for Joseph. In each of those situations, Joseph rose to the top because of the hand of God and because Joseph diligently served in whatever situation he found himself. With Joseph, there was no holding back, and for his brothers who sold him into slavery, there would be no holding a grudge against them. Joseph was sold as a slave, lived his life as a servant, and rose in prominence to become second in Egypt, only less in power than Pharaoh. Genesis 41, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was a servant, and later Moses was a servant of God. Born of the tribe of Levi and adopted into the household of Pharaoh, Moses would lead the people of Israel from Egypt. In the book of Revelation, we see a vision of the seven angels with the seven last plagues and the sea of glass together with those who had gotten victory over the beast, his image, his mark, and over the number of his name. And they sang the song of Moses. And in this vision, Moses is called the servant of God. Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And as I saw it, were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear me, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Moses died before crossing into the Promised Land, and it became the responsibility of Joshua to lead Israel. God reminded Joshua that Moses was his servant and told him that as he was with Moses, so he would be with Joshua, showing that it was expected that Joshua at that time become a servant of God and to be a servant of God with courage and strength. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Jesus used the example of servants in his parables. In one parable where the kingdom of God was compared to a man traveling to a distant country, the man gave his servants possessions to manage, according to the ability of the servants. Later, when the man returned, he collected those previously distributed possessions, and those servants who were able to grow the value of the possessions were praised by the man as doing well and being a faithful servant. The one servant who hid the possession entrusted to him was chastised by the man. Jesus used this parable to teach the importance of individual effort given similar circumstances. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he, which had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus was teaching about spiritual growth. Some of us are born into situations where there are more opportunities for spiritual growth, and some of us are born into situations where there are fewer opportunities for spiritual growth. Those born into a family of faith have a jump start ahead of those born into a family of non-believers. Those born in a country that espouses freedom of religion have a jump start over those born in a country that restricts religious freedom. Whatever our situation, spiritual growth is expected of all of us. There is no justification to exclude oneself from the need for spiritual growth for any reason. We are all servants of God and expected to grow spiritually. Being a servant of God does not mean we exclude any thought of serving others while living on this planet. For instance, Paul showed the Galatians, while we are servants of God, we should by love serve one another, as this is one way how we can fulfill the law. Instead of using spiritual knowledge to consume and destroy each other, we should serve one another in love. Being led by the Holy Spirit, focused on those things which are spiritual and avoiding those things which are works of the flesh. If we are servants of God, it would make no sense to attack others of the household of faith who are also servants of God. Even if we only think about it from a corporate human resources perspective, if one employee is the source of frustration for the remainder of the employees, sometimes the corporation will see it easier to terminate the employment of that one employee than to terminate the employment of the other employees, even when that one employee is a stronger and better employee, because often the strength and worth of that one employee doesn't equal the combined strength and worth of the remaining employees. As servants of God, through love, we serve one another. We do not attack and devour one another. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The Romans were taught that even though through the death of Jesus they had forgiveness of sin, that did not give them a license to sin. Paul told them that if they would yield to sin, they would be servants of sin. But if they yielded to the Holy Spirit and did what is expected, they would be servants of righteousness. Because we have forgiveness of sin, we should become servants of righteousness and servants of God. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you are the servants of sin, you are free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In addition to the choice of being a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness, making us a servant of God, we have a choice about whom we serve. Because we live on a planet with billions of other people, to some it might make sense to be a servant of mankind. Yet the Corinthians were told not to be servants of men. Paul was speaking in the broadest sense. and that we either serve God or we serve man. Since we were bought and paid for with the price of the blood and life of Jesus Christ, we need to serve God. As we are serving God by first seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we will be doing what God expects of us. And that will include loving our neighbor as ourself. In a way, by serving God, we will still be there for other people. But our focus of worship is God, not other people. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. As Christians, we need to be aware of false teachers, because false teachers teach people to become servants of corruption. Recently, a person with a religious title of authority publicly stated the need for a third testament because the Bible is problematic. While that person might be debating whether or not the Bible is problematic, others might be debating if that person is problematic. When I think of the Bible, I think of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, which reads that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when Paul wrote those words to Timothy, he was primarily referencing what today we would call the Old Testament, because the New Testament had not yet been canonized, but would even apply to the New Testament. When somebody says the Bible is problematic, and the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it would be fair to question if this person would consider God to be problematic. People can and will say whatever they want to about the Bible, but we must not allow ourselves to be fooled by false teachings of false teachers, because these false teachers have become servants to their false teachings. Anything that cannot be established in the Bible needs to be carefully examined to see if it is truth or error, if it is of liberty that comes through Jesus Christ, or if it leads to corruption. Some false teachings creep in when changes are made to what is understood, or to align modern practices to what is in the Bible. Take tithing, for example. The command in the Bible was given to Israel and is based on agricultural increases. Within the Church of God are diverse practices on tithing based on financial income. Different views are held because a modern practice is being aligned to what is in the Bible. With different viewpoints, evidently, somebody is right and somebody is wrong. But Jesus pointed out the need to focus on the weightier matters of the law, like justice and mercy, without forgetting about tithing. Even tradition needs to be examined, because it could be tradition based on false teachings. To avoid becoming a servant of corruption because of false teachings, we need to know what is in the Bible, and we need to do what is in the Bible, period. 2 Peter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Being a servant of righteousness and being a servant of God leads us to understand that while we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we also serve God instead of serving man. We will do what God expects of us instead of doing what mankind expects of us. We will still love our neighbor as ourself, and through that love of our neighbor, we will treat them as we would want to be treated. Within the household of faith, Jesus explained that the greatest among us would be a servant of all. He taught that within the household of faith, there would be no lordship or authority to be exercised over another person. Anything beyond telling people to do what is in the Bible could be seen as exercising authority, which Jesus said we are not to do. We teach with authority, but do not exercise authority. He added that when he came to earth in the form of a man, he did not come to be served, but to serve others through his death and resurrection. Mark 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do us for whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. And Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. If we are servants of Jesus Christ, we will follow Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean location, but to live our life as Jesus lived his. As Christians, we will sacrifice to prioritize seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, instead of having the life we would have had without Jesus Christ and God our Father as part of it. We now live our life where Jesus Christ and God our Father are part of our life. Instead of being like so many who only have hope of this life, while we are grateful for what God has given us, we know the best is yet to come, and we focus what we do on eternal life to come. John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Paul explained to the Corinthians that the ministers of God, who are also servants of God, are stewards of the mysteries of God and must be found faithful. Each of us, having the Holy Spirit, do to some degree have knowledge of the mysteries of God. It is up to each of us to be faithful with those mysteries entrusted to us. And knowing those mysteries begins with knowing what is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he told him to study to show himself approved as a person who needed no shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the truth can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. He told Timothy to avoid babblings, what today we might call those far-out ideas which might make for a nice distraction like fan fiction, but aren't relevant in the context of the Bible. As a servant of God in Jesus Christ, we need to stay grounded in what is in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul and the early apostles saw themselves as servants. We think of them as apostles, but they saw themselves as servants. From the writings, we can clearly see most call themselves apostles, but they also saw themselves as servants of Jesus Christ, of God, or both. Just like the apostles saw themselves as servants of Jesus Christ and of God, we must be servants of Jesus Christ and God. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy saw themselves as servants of Jesus Christ and introduced themselves as such to the Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Peter may have been the chief apostle, and yet he called himself a servant when writing to those of the household of faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. James didn't even refer to himself as an apostle, calling himself simply a servant. James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. With the exception of John, the apostles are thought to have died cruel deaths for the faith they held and for being servants to the household of faith. While we might not face the same fate they faced, we must remember that we also serve God and Jesus Christ. The service to God and Jesus Christ will lead us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that love will lead us to look out for and, when possible, supply the needs of our neighbors who cannot help themselves. Even though we may help others, our service is always to God and Jesus Christ. In the end time, the 144,000 are called servants of God. These servants of God are sealed right before the seventh seal is opened. Until the servants of God, the 144,000, are sealed, what happens on earth is delayed. Revelation 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The 144,000 are servants of God. Prophets are also servants of God. We must be servants of God today. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. We are to be servants of Jesus Christ and of God. The world persecutes servants of God, but there is a great blessing in serving God and Jesus Christ by doing what is in the Bible. Serving God and Jesus Christ will lead us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and through our service to God and Jesus Christ, as we are able, we will help those around us in need. The apostles saw themselves as servants, and the book of Revelation calls the 144,000 and prophets to be servants of God. It was Paul who added one additional twist for us to consider. We are servants of God and Jesus Christ, but we are called to be more than servants of God and Jesus Christ. We are called to be the children of God and an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Right now, we may very much seem to be only a servant of God. We do what is taught in the Bible, as we will always do. The Bible is inspired by God to lead us into God's righteousness and the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God comes, even though we are now the children of God, as John writes in 1 John 3:2, when Jesus Christ returns and the kingdom of God is established, it will then be easy for all to see we are the children of God. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are called to be the children of God, and right now it will look and feel very much like we are servants of God and Jesus Christ. We do what is taught in the Bible, as we will always do. As a servant of God, we are like the 144,000 and the prophets of God, who also were servants of God. We are like the early apostles, who saw themselves as servants of God and Jesus Christ. We are like Joshua, Moses, and Joseph. Being a servant of God may not find us favor with man, but we are not servants of man. We are servants of God and Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.